Blog Talk Radio.
Five, four, three, two, one. We have ignition. Strap in.
D-O-C-R, the voice of the Canadian Rockies. Tonight's host, the purveyor of political pontifications, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madame and messieurs, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. My name is Guru, a.k.a. Colin Knight. We have a great show lined up, lots to get to tonight, so let's set up the board, open up the phone lines. We remind you, phone lines will be open for the duration of the show.
On air live, 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence kept taking us somewhere else.
When we took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs, except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or a booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockies on blogtalkradio.com. Looking to contact the show? VOCR2012@gmail.com. 24-hour opinion line 240-696-6030 or on air live 347-324-3287.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the VOCR. It is Sunday, August the 5th, 2012, and I am your host, Colin Knight, also known as
Guru Nostra.
Each week, we open the show with readers and listeners' email, and this week is no exception.
You've got email, Governor.
What a wonderful summer's evening here in Calgary, Alberta. The temperature currently is 26 degrees Celsius. That's around about 80 degrees Fahrenheit for our American listeners. Before we get to the emails, a special shout out to the Calgary's own Scottish lass, who has barely enough time for enjoyable things of life. She's so giving to others that sometimes she forgets herself. So, Scottish lass, make time for your own comforts, my dear. You will thank me later. To the BC Dreamcatcher, want to go kayaking soon? And of course, Calgary's Southeast Brickies much better half. About time you came to be a regular. Want to do coffee soon? And to our special listeners in the Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada area, welcome to the VOCR family. I shall be down in your area in a few weeks. Maybe we could do lunch. It'll be my treat. Now, each week we do review some of the many emails we receive. And tonight is no exception. It is a little deep tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but we do ask you hang in there and bear with us. Remember, the phone lines are open, and they will remain open for the remainder of the show. So, emails, let's get to it. June from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Wow, Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. Got a nice ring to it, huh? She wrote, "Dear VOCR, I've just finished listening to your host on a local radio station. I cannot remember ever agreeing more with the talk show commentary." Well, thank you, June. I wasn't aware we aired in Saskatchewan, but thank you anyway. June goes on to say, "The subject was, of course, terrorism, yet your host gave such a clear and obvious understanding of those filthy murderers. Please thank Mr. Knight." Yeah, I'm thanking him for his views and his ongoing fight to get the truth told and show those fools in Washington and the Canadian capital of Ottawa what is really happening. Best wishes, June." Well, June from Saskatoon, kind of got a ring to it, don't it? Thank you for your email. and also for our listeners in the Saskatchewan who have forwarded our VCO information, obviously to the local radio jocks. Word of mouth is the preferred delivery system to get our information to as many people as possible, and we do continue to invite all to give our links to as many people as possible. You tell two friends, they tell two friends, etc., etc. And June, I shall be in Regina, Saskatchewan in November. So watch for the announcement in the Carillon Regina's University newspaper. And I do thank you, June. Richard from Houston wrote, "Dear VOCR, I'm in the oil industry here in Houston, and I truly enjoy your quality information regarding the Canadian oil sands and its pipeline issues. Houston oil companies have offices in Calgary, Alberta, in order to stay abreast of the political changes which affect the oil exports of Canada. Would you consider adding an oil segment weekly on your radio show or website? There are thousands in the industry who would appreciate your insight and the thoughts of an Albertan who actually understands the possibilities of secured oil sources for the USA. Thank you and stay safe, Richard." Thank you, Richard. Well, Richard, the Alberta oil industry is the ace card for our federal politics and the economic well-being of Canada as a whole. If Canada had not have had such a stable and well-funded oil business, Canada would have succumbed to the worldwide depression of Western economies a long time ago. Now, although the oil industry does have an image problem and most certainly must literally clean up their act, the secured oil supply to the U.S. is of paramount importance to our trade. We enjoy trade with the United States. You are our largest trading partner. And we must resolve the XL pipeline and other oil issues into the States as quickly as possible. China is, of course, fighting hard to get control of an unlimited supply of crude oil, promising billions in research and development, offering to finance pipelines and a deep water port on the West Coast to advance their opportunity for a secured source of oil for their gluttonous exploding economy, much like the U.S. Obama definitely dropped the ball. Denying access to Canadian crude via the XL pipeline assured Americans of an ongoing price increase for petroleum products. Now, in my humble opinion, Obama has chosen to hold up the pipeline until closer to the election, when he will no doubt announce approval of the XL and thus infuse thousands of instant jobs to dilute the abysmal job numbers which have dogged his possible re-election. It seems to me that President Obama doesn't care about the cost of gasoline. He has no idea what it takes to earn and purchase daily, weekly requirements. While Americans watch their low fuel gauge and worry about their ability to drive to work or drive for a vacation, Obama rides around in a virtual tank, affectionately called by the Secret Service as the Beast. We're talking about the car, not Obama or Michelle. This car guzzles fuel at a rate of 7 miles per gallon. I bet Obama has never seen the low fuel light in his limo. So thanks for the email, Richard, and we shall most certainly increase our coverage of the Canadian oil industry as we get closer to November the 6th election. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the next email is very sensitive, and we suggest that if there are children in the room, please don't let them listen to this next segment. You see, this email brought me to tears. It put me on my knees. I asked God, why? Now, the name and location have been changed to protect the writer for reasons which will become very, very obvious. So we'll call her Afia, and she's from Boise, Idaho. Afia wrote, "I was recently given your link to a website, and I've read some of your articles about honor killings and Sharia law. Most recently on blogs such as Two-Way Politics on Paltalk. I wish to tell you my story." Whew. As a Muslim woman, I could be killed for communicating with you or offering you this testament. My family fled Pakistan when I was very young, 4 years old. I'm now 26. My father and brother were tortured and murdered in Pakistan. My mother raped. Because they stood up for the female rights to education and the right not to wear traditional Muslim female garments. My father was a teacher. My brother was a policeman. Although I was very young, I remember clearly the day the murderers smashed down the door of our home. I remember being forced to watch my mother being raped for over 3 hours as my father and brother begged for their lives while being tortured and eventually murdered after watching my mother violated. My mother was raped in front of my father and brothers and me by at least half a dozen of these filthy animals for many hours while they took turns torturing my father and brother and shouting, Allah Akbar, God is great. My mother died 2 years ago here in the U.S., shunned by the Muslim community because she refused to wear traditional Muslim clothing and disputed the words of our local Muslim clerics. My mother educated her children. I am a pediatric doctor, my brother a PhD professor, and my older sister a very successful professional working for Homeland Security. As a Muslim woman, I am ashamed of what Muslim clerics spew on a constant basis in the name of Allah. I am ashamed of the silence from Muslim followers who believe that murder, torture, and rape are acceptable methods of proving that my religion is the only religion. Please continue to tell the world. Sorry. Please continue to tell the world of these disgusting people. Continue to enlighten and promote peace for all religions. Now, Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet, and they accept his teachings of Jesus, but will murder and destroy anything which seems Christian as the enemy. When I watch the news and see Muslims slaughtering other human beings as well as other Muslims while professing Allah Akbar, God is great, I'm disgusted, appalled, and ashamed. From one Muslim, please accept my apologies on behalf of real Muslim followers. I know it's not enough, but it is a start. Respectfully, Afia. Now, Afia, I'm so sorry for what the disgusting animals have done to your family. Equally sorry that Western powers permit this scum to exist. That they should exist within such an ancient religion and are permitted to spout hate in Friday prayers or mosques around the world disgusts me also. As you are aware by reading my editorials, there is no love lost on Muslim clerics, mullahs who demand adherence to writings which are clearly not in the Quran, addendums to Muhammad's teachings written by sick and perverted men to continue the domination of women. Mullahs claim that the traditions are enforceable under Sharia law and are superior to Western law and its foundations. Your mother was obviously a very proud woman. Her clear love for you is evident by your email. Now, there are no words I can conjure up to soften your story or provide comfort or promise a better world. I am genuinely touched by your information and your choice of profession and your witness by sending this email to me. I can only say that your family's escape from Pakistan, although traumatic, set you on a course of truth and enlightenment, and I am so proud of you for embracing Western culture and values while maintaining your religious beliefs of the true words of Muhammad. God is great. Allah Akbar. God is great. But just not the way those filthy animals come up with their answers. Let's take a break. I need to regroup.
We'll be right back right after this quick station break. The voice of the the Canadian Rockets on blogtalkradio.com. Opinion 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287, the phone lines are open. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Guru Nostra.
If you would like to send an email to the show, vocr2012@gmail.com. A story from the UK enforces the problems the West has with religion gone wrong. As I see it, Sharia law is evil, written by evil people and enforced by an evil lowlife. The link I received a couple of days ago was regarding parents of a 17-year-old girl who were convicted and jailed for honor killing. The parents of Shafili Ahmed have been jailed for life after being convicted of her murder. The 17-year-old went missing from her home in Warrington, Cheshire in 2003, and her body was found in the River Kent in Cumbria 6 months later. Iftikhar, 52, and Farzana Ahmed, 49, had denied her murder, but the jury at Chester Crown Court returned a guilty verdict against them both. Mr. Justice Roderick Evans said they would both serve a minimum of 25 years, and the judge told them, "Your concern about being shamed in your community was greater than your love for your child." Now, apparently the couple suffocated Shafilia with a plastic bag after years of abuse. After the trial, Detective Superintendent Jones described the killing as a vile and disgraceful act against someone they should have been very proud of. He added, "For me, this is not an honor killing. It's a clear case of murder." The police and Crown Prosecution Services said they will review conflicting evidence that emerged during the trial and later make a decision on whether any further action will be taken. Now, the prosecution claimed she was murdered by her parents because she believed she brought shame on the family. Shafilia went missing on 11th of September 2003 and was reported missing by a teacher a week later, not by the family. After several police appeals to find her, workmen found her decomposed remains in February 2004, and she was identified by her dental records and jewelry. Now, two post-mortem examinations failed to determine how she died, but a verdict of unlawful killing was recorded at her inquest in 2008. The evidence presented outlined a terrified 17-year-old who had rebelled against the Sharia teachings of her father and local Muslim clerics. She was 17, a virgin, a grade A student, well-liked in her school community and well-respected by her schoolmates. She was murdered. Murdered because her father was embarrassed because she had embraced Western culture, a culture that gave her father an excellent living and lifestyle. The father, Iftikhar, 52, and his wife, Farzana, 49, of Warrington, Cheshire, were convicted of suffocating the 17-year-old daughter, Shafilia, with a plastic bag and disposing of her body like trash. In a sick and perverted irony, Iftikhar appeared for sentencing wearing a Western-style business suit, shined leather patent shoes, jewelry, and guess what? Yep, no mullah or religious cleric in sight. 25 years minimum is not enough. if Takkar and his wife, Farzana, should be stripped of their British citizenship or immigration, their lands and wealth should be confiscated, and they should both spend the rest of their life in prison. But if the 25-year sentence is reduced for any reason, they should be thrown out of the country, which gave them the freedom and the peace. Send them back home. Let them live with Sharia law and see how long they would survive. Allah Akbar indeed. Allah Akbar indeed. If you wish to comment, phone lines are open. We do welcome your comments. A link which was sent by one of our good friends from Two Way Politics on the Paltalk system clearly shows the desperation of some liberals and Democrats out there. 6-year-old Isaac Anthony surely must have learned his conservative political ideology at home. You see, at least it was at home. Unlike the kids at the B. Bernice Young Elementary School in Burlington, New Jersey, who were forced to sing of the Homeric exploits of the president in a Horst Wessel lead-inspired psalm, cleverly entitled Barack Hussein Obama, Tolerance on Parade. Since the posting of little Isaac's top 10 reasons not to vote for Obama video on YouTube, comments on the popular internet video site from apparently left-leaning individuals have called for the killing of Isaac and his little brother and sister, as well as his parents. Examples include, hopefully an illegal alien will kill your racist ass and your family too. Another one, I wonder what they teach his sister to swallow. Another note was, can someone kill the child to teach the parents a lesson? And another one was, this child and his parents need to be euthanized. And then finally, a final statement was, go die of AIDS and take your family with you. If that can't happen fast enough, go die in a car crash, you trash. These statements were posted on YouTube and allowed by the parent company Google. So what was the video? Top 10 reasons not to vote for Obama. The video on YouTube is called, of course, Top 10 Reasons Not to Vote for Obama. Besides calls for death on the Anthony family by presumably American liberals, but who knows, the Australian news portal news.com.au has branded the video as really wrong, for among other things, due to the belief that it borders on child exploitation. There was no such outrage from news.com.au when the school children in New Jersey were forced to sing the praises of Obama. The reason for the outrage, the wrath upon Isaac's family, stems from the following reasons he gave not to vote for President Obama in the upcoming president election. Now, David Letterman should take notice of this top 10 instead of his political cheap shots against anyone who disagrees with the usurper President Obama. Top 10. 10. He takes money from people who work hard and gives it to people who don't work at all. Now, I guess that's referring to the welfare and food stamps. 9. He wants everyone to wait in a long line to see a doctor. That's probably a statement regarding Obamacare. He thinks babies are a burden. I don't have any reference for that. 7. He doesn't want Americans to drill for oil or mine for coal. Well, that's the XL pipeline, offshore drilling, the carbon tax, coal tax, etc. 6. He wants to keep people on welfare and food stamps so they won't vote for him. I don't get that one, but it's in there. 5. He lets bad guys into our country. Illegal immigration, fake visas. Some of Obama's relatives are illegals. And 4. He wants to take guns away from good guys. Well, we've heard about Obama's gun control, and we've also heard about the UN attempt to take control of firearms in the United States. And 3, Mr. and Mrs. Obama are not proud Americans, but I am. Well, Michelle has said that publicly, and I believe we have that on an audio clip somewhere. And 2, he bows down to leaders of other countries. Well, Obama has been seen to bow to Saudi kings, Chinese leaders, Muslim clerics. And 1, nobody knows where he came from. I guess that's regarding the birther issue and the lack of supporting documents. So for this top 10, the Anthony family have been publicly threatened. Now, check out the video on YouTube before the liberal media get it pulled, if they haven't already done so. Top 10 reasons not to vote for Obama. Now, I saw the video. I thought it was kind of cute. But I was concerned with the indoctrination of such a young person, obviously influenced by his parents, who are no doubt Republican or conservatives. However, if that had been the top 10 reasons not to vote for Mitt Romney, mainstream media would have embraced it as an enlightened child. You see, the imbalance of media reporting is evident with the denial of airtime on the obvious questions as to Obama's past. MSM wants Obama reelected for whatever reason, and the liberals want the Republican right to be denied airtime and publicity of what appears to be an illegal president. We doubt that it will change. And it is up to clear-thinking people and voters to spread the word on blogs, at office gatherings, and to anyone who will listen, and especially on internet audio chat groups such as Two-Way Politics on the PalTalk system and political audio rooms on the Yahoo system. By all accounts, Obama is a failed president. The U.S. GDP and the unemployment figures, the raising of the debt ceiling to an unimaginable level, increased taxes and regulations, denial of freedom of speech by anyone who opposes him, are all indicators that Obama doesn't care what the U.S. Constitution states, or the rule of law, or even what voters think. The Obama machine will do whatever it takes to get their puppet reelected, and he will say whatever is required to make sure that happens. And Michelle will continue to spend lavishly on vacations and expensive clothing while openly admitting that she is not proud of the United States of America. I tell you, it's a dirty world out there.
In your face.
We're online. 24/7.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets on the TerraChat Radio Network.
This is Colin Knight, reminding you to check out our website, www.vocrradio.com.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hard-working people out there. You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
And now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com for more information. VOCR Radio on the TerraChat Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, the purveyor of pontificating political persuasion, Guru Nostra.
And a disturbing story which continues to unfold tonight as we go to air. Police in Oak Creek, Wisconsin, say 7 people were killed during a shooting Sunday at a Sikh temple just south of Milwaukee. Apparently there were 4 deceased inside the temple and 3 deceased outside the temple, one of whom was the shooter. This according to Police Chief Brad Wendlandt when he spoke to reporters earlier today. He said the first police officer to arrive on the scene after several 9/11 calls were made was around 10:25 a.m. local time. Exchanged gunfire with the suspect, and the officer, a 20-year law enforcement veteran, was shot multiple times, but will survive. The best information we have now, and this information may change, is that the two individuals were transported from the scene by various local fire departments for gunshot wounds, one being an officer, the other a civilian. The third person outside of the building, of course, was the shooter, and he laid where he fell until the investigation is complete. Dozens of people were reported inside the hiding in the aftermath of the shooting. There were conflicting reports about the number of wounded, but Lee Biblow, chief medical officer of the Freyadorf Hospital, said it received 3 male patients and is on standby for more patients as needed. Now, Frodert is the main trauma center in the community, which is located about 18 kilometers south of Milwaukee. Biblow said the 3 are all adults, 2 were shot in the face and 1 in the abdomen, and they are all reported in critical condition. By the mid-afternoon, local reports said police had gathered witnesses in the basement of the temple and were interviewing them and gradually releasing them as they have given up their information. Now, Sukhwinder Nagar called his brother-in-law's phone, and a priest at the temple answered, and Nagar says the priest told him that his brother-in-law had been shot, along with 3 priests. Now, Nagar says the priest also said women and children were hiding in closets at the temple while the shooting was going on. The temple was due to have its weekly community midday lunch on Sunday. Usually 300 to 400 people would show up. Now, early Sunday, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel website reported that multiple people, as many as 20, may have been injured. It is also reported that a police SWAT team entered the building before noon and took uninjured people out of the temple. Now, let's get this clear. This was a shooting at a Sikh temple, not a Muslim mosque. One of the temple's committee members, Venbo Barai, told the Journal Sentinel that based on communication with people inside the temple, the shooter was a white male in his 30s. And late news breaking is that the police have a location of where the shooter had supposedly lived and had that place surrounded and were preparing to enter the premises for evidence. Now, Rai said, "It's sad. I don't know how to describe it." Rai was fielding calls all day from around the world, including India. Now, Sikhism is such a peaceful religion. They have suffered for generations in India and even in the Western world. It's so unknown as to what the Sikhs are about. And here in Canada, of course, we went through a massive terrorist trial where they blew up an Air India plane in the late 80s, I believe it was. Sikhism is a monotheistic faith that was founded in South Asia more than 500 years ago. It has roughly 27 million followers worldwide. And observant Sikhs don't cut their hair, and male followers often cover their heads with turbans, which are considered sacred, and they refrain from shaving their heads and refrain from shaving their beards. There are roughly 500,000 Sikhs in the U.S., according to estimates, but the majority worldwide live in India. For Sikh relatives living overseas who may be listening tonight, family and friends who need information, write this number down, 1-888-298-1964. That's 1-888-298-1964. And you will be able to contact the Special Service Department at the crime scene and maybe be able to help you with information regarding friends or family, if you have any. Again, 7 dead, 3 wounded, including the shooter, at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. President Obama released a statement in response to the shooting at a Sikh temple in Oak Creek. "Michelle and I were deeply saddened to learn of the shooting that tragically took so many lives in Wisconsin. At this difficult time, the people of Oak Creek must know that the American people have them in their thoughts and prayers, and our hearts go out to the families and friends of those who were killed and wounded. My administration will provide whatever support is necessary to the officials who are responding to this tragic shooting, and moving forward with the investigation as we mourn the loss which took place at a house of worship. We are reminded how much our country has been enriched by Sikhs who are part of the broader American family. Now, Mitt and Ann Romney were quick to release a statement also. And Mitt Romney stated, Ann and I extend our thoughts and prayers to the victim of today's shooting in Wisconsin. This was a senseless act of violence and a tragedy that should never befall any house of worship. Our hearts are with the victims, their families, and the entire Oak Creek Sikh community. We join Americans everywhere in mourning those who lost their lives and in prayer for healing in difficult days ahead. South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, Republican, whose parents are practicing Sikhs, put out a statement on Facebook. It is very sad to see something like this happen to a peaceful place of worship. Our prayers and condolences go out to the families of the innocent victims and the family of the heroic officer in the senseless tragedy. Now, Haley has identified herself as a Christian, though she has attended Sikh services in deference to her parents' faith. What's happening to the world lately? What on earth is going on? Cinema massacres, temple shootings, honor killings. How can anyone, justify these atrocities? What causes people to do such things? Now, some in the United States say that this adds impetus to gun control. That could cause an interesting concept.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Good afternoon. I have enjoyed a full day of meetings with leaders of the government here in Great Britain. I've spoken with members of the government as well as the opposition. We've spoken about matters of foreign policy, domestic policy, economic outlook, and developments here in the UK and across Europe and across the world. I found the discussions to be enlightening and instructive, and have enjoyed the personal opportunity to come to know a number of the members of the leadership here in Great Britain.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. You got a business. You didn't build that. Somebody else.
I am going to predict that within the 4 years of my term, that we would get unemployment down to 6%. According to the president's plan, we're supposed to be at 5.6% by now, and he hasn't accomplished that. We're still above 8%. He said if we put in place a stimulus, we'd never go above 8%. We've had 41 straight months above 8%. Now, my plan is based on five key changes that will change the direction of our economy and will get our unemployment rate down and get our wages coming up again. And I'll tell you what the 5 points are. Very quickly. One is taking advantage of our energy resource. Number two is opening new trade for American goods and services around the world. Number three is scaling back the size of government, cutting the deficit. Number four is making sure we're creating human capital with great schools for our kids and training for our workers. And number five is restoring economic freedom by holding down regulation to those that are absolutely necessary and reforming our tax code.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Got a question? Want to make a comment? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And we have a comment coming out of the virtual studio by an anonymous guest, Kel Surprise. Doesn't believe the story regarding the woman that left Pakistan. It's an email, my friend, and I just read them the way they come. And no, I will not give you a copy of the email. Experts on a panel assembled by Florida-based The United West have warned that the aftermath of an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse attack, would be devastating on the United States, with up to 90% of the population dead or dying. Pretty scary thought. According to Fritz Ehrmath, chairman of the National Intelligence Council, a significant EMP event would bring about the prompt and early delayed death of millions of people in what have been called an electronic Armageddon. An EMP strike delivered from a single bomb would result in the United States losing 2/3 to 90% of its population within 6 months of the event. Now, Congressman Roscoe Bartlett, PhD, Republican, I believe he's from Maryland. I could be wrong on that one. He has been deeply concerned about the effects of an EMP on the nation's critical infrastructure. And in a report by the Congressional EMP Commission, which Mr. Bartlett established, a 1 megaton nuclear device detonated about 500 kilometers in the atmosphere would lay down an EMP blanket over the entire contiguous United States. Cities in the periphery of the blast radius, San Diego and Maine, would experience approximately 10 kilovolts per meter of electrical field strength. That amount of energy would be enough to cause substantial damage to unprotected electronics in both civilian and military equipment. Now, strategic military assets are well protected from EMPs, but as one moves down to the tactical and support assets, EMP protection is much, much less. One major form of damage would be to the electrical power grid. An EMP would strike the electrical transformers that are part of the electrical distribution system, rendering them inoperable. Now, there are more than 2,000 large transformers throughout the United States, a sizable proportion of which would fall victim to the blast. Pretty scary stuff when you look at it in realistic terms of what is possible. The national power grid is very complex and interwoven systems, and a failure in any part of the grid would probably have a cascading effect on the rest of the structure. Now, speaking of effects, NASA spacecraft is speeding towards the epic Mars landing. Mars rover Curiosity closing in on the red planet at over 8,000 miles per hour. NASA's Mars Science Laboratory and the Curiosity rover are preparing to enter the Martian atmosphere following an 8.5-month race to the red planet at over 8,000 miles per hour. By the time it arrives at Mars, gravity will have accelerated the spacecraft to a whopping 13,200 miles per hour, and NASA must then slow it down. According to NASA, following the 7 minutes of terror window, beginning at 1:31 a.m. Eastern Time early Monday morning, a reference to the nerve-wracking landing that NASA has planned, this involves Curiosity's screaming race to the surface and then a dangle off a rocket-powered sky crane. The rover will be set to begin its mission, the study of our planetary neighbor and the quest for signs of life there. Curiosity is the culmination of a decade of exploration work, and we can now begin to move forward finding the fingerprints of life on Mars, according to Scott Hubbard, who's a Stanford University consultant professor of aeronautics and astronautics. The space agency said Curiosity remains in good health and was steering so smoothly between planets that a planned minor course correction Saturday just wasn't necessary. With the gravitational pull of Mars already tugging on the spaceship, arrival is being closely monitored by watching by watchful eyes of Mission Control. Now, we've seen the previous rovers and the amazing photos which they have sent back. And, of course, we remember the second rover, which shut down in a failsafe and failed a year after its arrival. Is there life on Mars? Was there life on Mars? Could we colonize this planet? Well, stay tuned, and we will follow the story closely after tonight's show. And later on tonight, when we go off the air in 20 minutes, we invite you to switch over to Coast to Coast AM. They plan a special edition with Whitley Strieber and George Noory on a live show covering the landing in about 15, 20 minutes or so. And I believe Coast to Coast goes live in about an hour. Does an audit show the Federal Reserve Bank sitting on $21 million in gold, as it was claimed over 20 years ago? The federal government has quietly completed an audit of U.S. gold stored at the New York Federal Reserve near Wall Street. For many years, the U.S. governments have been rumored to have a gold stash worth about $21 billion stored at the Federal Reserve, the Los Angeles Times reports. Now, some believe the bullion is a result of a heist, similar to the movie Die Hard. Others claim the gold had been used in a shadowy government transaction, or even swapped with gold-painted bars, according to the newspaper. According to the Times, the U.S. government has completed its audit, which includes drilling holes in the bars to test their purity. The Treasury Department has refused to disclose any details of the audit, saying the results will be announced by the end of the year. Well, no doubt it'll be done after the election. The bad news will come after November the 6th. The Treasury's auditing operation, including drilling, is a first for the New York Fed. The department's inspector general previously audited and tested only gold it keeps under heavy guard at Fort Knox. West Point and the U.S. Mint in Denver, all three locations, hold about 95% of the country's bullion. My next question would be, where's the other 5%? Who's got it? If you remember, Congressman Paul has long maintained the gold is gone, claiming payment of debt and mismanagement, and had called for the abolishment of the Federal Reserve Bank, which is not controlled by the U.S. government, and it dances to its own set of rules. In fact, Paul has declared that Fort Knox should also be shut down. So is the $21 billion there? Well, I guess we're going to find out after November. What do you think? Do you think it's possible?
The VOCR Town Crier invites you to promote your ideas and opinions on the world at large. We have three methods of contact: live on air, 347-324-3287, or 24-hour voice message line, 240-696-6030, or by email, vocr2012@gmail.com. The voice continues after this. This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We believe probable cause exists indicating that forgery and fraud may have been committed.
President Obama's status on Arizona's ballot is in question there.
Our goal in the beginning was to prove this document authentic. The problem is the evidence kept taking us somewhere else.
The Rockets led by example. We took our trip to Africa and visited his home country in Kenya.
I've spoken here last. Lots of ups, lots of downs. Except for my approval ratings, which have just gone down. But that's politics. It doesn't bother me. Besides, I happen to know that my approval ratings are still very high in the country of my birth.
That Obama's literary agent of a book that was scheduled to be released in 1991, or booklet, states emphatically that Obama was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia and Hawaii.
This is the voice of the Canadian Rockers. On BlogTalkRadio.com.
And our final story of the night, the delicate threads that hold modern life together are dramatically cut by an unexpected threat from outer space with disastrous effects. It's the stuff of science fiction, usually associated with tales of rogue asteroids on a collision course with Earth. But over the next 2 years, as the Sun reaches a peak in its 10-year activity cycle, scientists say there is a heightened risk that a whopping solar storm could knock out the power grids, satellites, communications on which we rely. Now, governments are taking this very seriously, according to Mike Hapgood, a space weather specialist at the Rutherford Appleton Laboratory in the UK. These things may be very rare, but when they happen, the consequences can be catastrophic. Now, Hapgood said that the solar storms are increasingly being put on the National Risk Register, used for disaster planning, alongside other rare but devastating events like tsunamis and volcanic eruptions. The statistics supported this, he said. There is roughly 12% chance of a major solar storm every decade, making them a 1-in-100-year event, and the last one was over 150 years ago that affected the world as badly as they are expecting. Now, of course, 150 years ago, they weren't tied into transistor radios, electronics, so they weren't subject to as much attack, if you will. They just weren't. Very little electricity, if at all. Everything was basic gaslight. Telephones weren't even around yet. So their effect was seen less. Knocked out telegraph, I believe, and a few other odds and sods. But in general, 150 years ago, the Earth didn't realize or notice as much as you and I and the rest of the world would realize or notice if we were hit with a massive solar flare. So tonight we've talked about Sharia law, we've talked about EMPs, and we've talked about solar flares. All seem to be dire consequences and dire conditions, but remember this. You live in a world in the West with some of the greatest minds ever created. The amount of knowledge that we are gaining on a weekly, daily, monthly, yearly basis is astronomical, literally. We can live in the conditions that we have made for ourselves, but imagine knocking us back to the Stone Age, because that's what would happen if we lost the electrical grid, if we lost all electronics. That's what would happen. None of your vehicles would work. None of your refrigeration units. Very few vehicles would be on the road. No long haulers. No trains. And of course, no planes. And very few ships. Now, what would happen to the world if that hit our planet with the thousands of ships that are on the ocean that rely on GPS and electronics to be able to function? Imagine the carnage and the insanity of this world. So the government is racing against time, against the clock, to be able to protect as much as possible. And we hope that they make the connection and they get this stuff sorted out before it happens. However, there's a good possibility that you and I are going to have to learn how to cook, live, and survive without that magic power of electricity. How would we survive? Well, the survivalists, like the gentleman Richard Scroggins, who I had on the night talk last week, he's ready for a survival. And I recommend that you think very, very seriously about creating some survival supplies so that you may also survive the devastation if something would happen to hit, such as a solar flare of maximum potential. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe we burned through our time already. It is time for us to mosey, and we shall be back next week. Watch the website for more information, times, places, and events. Of course, the website www.vocrradio.com. And as I leave you, I wish blessings on your household, ladies and gentlemen. Please all be safe. Don't let anything happen to your family. Love one another. Take care. And we'll catch you back here next week, God willing. Shalom.
In the dead of night, when all is dark, and all your daytime worries engulf you, in the dead of night, expanding your mind to the great world about you. In the dead of night, when the night winds howl in the sacred hollows of the castle walls, in the dead of night, when all is still, and now a word from the President of the United States of America, President Barack Hussein Obama.
Sorry, I just noticed that I jumped the gun here. Go ahead, move it up.
Now,
We
now return you to normally scheduled programming. Phone lines are now open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Looking to contact the show? By email, vocr2012@gmail.com or vocrradio.com. Come to the blog site and choose your poison of how you'd like to chat with us. So, vocr2012@gmail.com for more information. You are listening to VOCR Radio on the Terror Chat Radio Network. Hey there, got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerraChat Network production. www.terrachatnet.com.